Thank you for helping us make budget again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 5 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, and thanks for your financial support. We're looking forward to partnering with you in 2013. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, issues, etc., and sacred music for the world, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
All told, about 50,000 college students who filled out the narcissistic personality inventory at some point between 1982 and 2009. And we found that the number who scored very high on narcissism, that percentage used to be only about 17%, and in the most recent samples, it was about 30%. The increase in narcissism seemed to be accelerating after about 2005 or 2006, which is exactly when a lot of this internet technology and social networking websites and so on really got going.
That's Dr. Jean Twenge. She conducts the American Freshman Survey, and part of that is this narcissistic personality inventory you've been reading so much about, talking there in an interview from October of last year. A very strong rise in the measurable narcissism of college freshmen and of young people in general. It should concern us. Does it surprise us? Probably not. And she says a lot of it has to do with social media and kind of the artificial world that people can create for themselves in the social media. Joining us to talk about the American Freshman Survey, Pastor Marcus Zill. He's a regular guest, campus pastor of St. Andrew's Lutheran Church and a campus center in Laramie, Wyoming, and coordinator for campus ministry for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and its new LCMSU initiative. Marcus, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Hey, great to be with you, Todd.
I want to find out what you think about the survey in just a second, but we just had Pastor Will Whedon in here, and he asked me, he's checking up on you, whether or not you had gone back to your primal diet.
Oh, geez, he's outing me on Issues, Etc.
Yes, he is.
No, after the Unwrapped conference last week, Pastor Whedon was very concerned that I'm with you guys for the long haul. So I guess now I am. So no, I'm trying to get back on swing of things. I am a little bit in a post Unwrapped conference coma, but I'm slowly coming out of it and happy to talk about this topic today. It's a great one.
How many years have you dealt directly as a pastor with college age students?
About 14 and a half, and then I also had a vicarage, so I'm pushing 16 years altogether with an interest in the age group or working directly with them.
Are you surprised that, according to this narcissistic personality inventory that they take as part of the American Freshman Survey, that there's been a sharp rise in measurable narcissism, self-obsession, from the teens up into almost 40% of college freshmen?
Well, the quick answer is absolutely not. I don't know anybody that works with young people or with college students today would be really surprised by it. As I always tell people, I don't put a lot of stock in surveys or statistics unless they already agree with whatever I already thought. And this is so dead on, it's not even funny. I mean, this is clearly what we're facing, and we're seeing an increase of this kind of the issues that are outlined that we just heard and in some of the articles that are coming out after the survey. Young people are showing up. They're almost in a little bubble by the time they show up. They're in a little incommunicado bubble when they show up because they're kind of living in an alternate reality.
What do you mean by that alternate reality? How would you describe it?
Well, it's kind of like they're two people. There's who they are in their little shooting game, Facebook, social media world, and then there's who they are when they're out in public, and oftentimes they're not the same person. I've seen a lot of young people, brilliant young men, a brilliant young person that came to school and, you know, honor student, and couldn't escape the bubble of spending so much time playing video games and doing all these types of things, and end up flunking out of school. Even though he came early as an honor student. So, I mean, this is a problem. Young people today, especially those that are in high school now and coming into college, have been so immersed for so long now, over the last six or seven years, in this kind of alternate reality that that the social media and Facebook and spending time in the gaming world and whatnot, that it's really like you're dealing with two people.
And they are, in that sense, I mean, everyone says, the young people, they're all kind of self-obsessed when they go off to college. They all think they got the world by the tail. But this is different, isn't it?
Oh, this is totally different. They don't know how to engage. You know, it's one thing to have, we're in our 40s. There's always a need to have kind of a little escape from reality. It used to be you plopped yourself down in front of the TV and watched a sitcom or two for a half an hour or whatever, and then you went on to other things. Now people are spending all their time doing this, and so they almost get kind of a false sense of confidence, a false sense of who they are, and their self-esteem comes more from their alternate reality instead of the actual world where they live.
And it's not just an alternate reality. It's not reality at all, is it?
No, it's not. It's not reality at all. It's fantasy. And fantasy has its place, you know. It's wonderful to have that release. It's wonderful to, we used to read fantasy and C.S. Lewis and Tolkien and go to a movie and escape for a little bit. But when the escape mechanism becomes the main place where you spend your time, in your own mind, that becomes who you think you are. It becomes your reality, even though it's fantasy.
So, pastorally, what is the biggest challenge you face when you see these college freshmen? And I'm sure it often lingers into their latter years of higher education. What is your biggest challenge you face with these young people when you meet them? And you kind of, by now, know what you're going to get when you meet these college freshmen.
Well, the one thing that jumps out at me is the loss of attention span. When you live in kind of the gaming, Facebook, social media world, you need to have that constant stimulation. And it's kind of an interesting thing. It's becoming so retro to, like, actually talk to people that as a campus pastor, I actually use less PowerPoint and less social media and less kind of gimmicks, just because in many ways these young people are like, wow, that is like way cool. This guy's actually talking to me and dialoguing with me. And so on the one hand, it's a benefit to us because we're still an oral church. We hear, we're a people of hearing, not of sight. And so in spiritual ways, it's kind of helpful, but you have to get them brought from one world into the other. And that's really where it kind of comes into play when they show up as a freshman. And instead of getting to know people, instead of going out to the Friday night parties or hanging out with people, they just kind of retreat to their little space and stay in that little world. Then you got a problem if they're not seeking out opportunity to really kind of interact with actual people. Then you got some trouble on your hands trying to draw them in.
Let's talk about the attendant phenomenon here with these young people who, because of the compounding effects of the social media, because of that kind of social isolation that it actually does create in their lives, also come to college, and this is what the narcissistic personality survey showed in spades, they come to college believing that in virtually every aspect of their lives, they as an individual, this person, this guy, this girl, is not just above average, but well above average. They are scoring themselves so high. And, I mean, you've seen a bell curve. It can't be. Not everybody can be above average. What's the problem with pride that we're dealing with there?
Well, I mean, obviously it's a sin issue. We've got First Commandment issues everywhere. And so everyone's curved inside, and they're curved inwards. And, you know, one of the problems is that many of these young people, that they do have somewhat of an overinflated sense of themselves. And then we have a kind of a dumbing down with the bell curve, so everybody thinks that way. And then my bigger concern is the other problem of those who are led to despair because maybe they haven't caught on to this yet, and they look at all these other people that seem to have their act together, and they're led to despair because they think they can't quite measure up, even though it's still all fantasy. And so, in many ways, one of the problems is gone as the idea of work ethic. You know, seeing young people just sitting there reading for a couple of hours, putting in the effort and the time that's required to really do what will make them, kind of on the top of the bell curve. It's just not there anymore, and they almost kind of feel a sense of entitlement that if they just do a little bit, if they just do the bare minimum And then as these articles suggest and the survey suggests, they can kind of add a little bit to that to kind of polish their resume up a little bit. They should have everything handed to them, and it's just not the real world.
So in a sense, what's happening here is they are coming in need of tremendous remedial and, in your case, pastoral care in order to get them out of 4 years or 5 years of college or university, just in a vocational sense, ready for life.
Oh, absolutely. And lots of times for them, it's a jolt. They show up at college, and you know what? Their profs, they don't live in that world. They expect work. They want to see some serious work. And many of these young people, I see it all the time. They run to the pastor, I got a C. I've never had a C in my life. I'm like, well, did you do the work? Well, not really, not compared to so-and-so. I'm like, well, you need to step up your game. And so just on a pure pragmatic level, they need to be jacked up a little bit, and college can be harsh enough of a dose of reality when you show up on your own, but now you add this little bubble that you're kind of in when you show up, and it can be real trouble.
When we come back, we'll talk with Pastor Marcus Zill a little bit more about the American Freshman Survey. One of the things that Jean Twenge discovered in the course of her most recent interviews with college freshmen is that there's been a turning of the tables, a shift. She talks about whereas previous generations of young people, college freshmen, were very keen on seeking their parents' and adults' approval, that's changed. Now their parents are seeking their kids' approval. And something tells me that can't turn out well. We'll also talk about the fact that at least for the foreseeable future, we're kind of stuck with the social media. It's not as though we can completely unplug. We have to learn how to deal with it, to navigate its dangers, its pitfalls, and somehow not emerge from the other side, living in a reality of our own construction. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. It's Thursday afternoon, January the 10th.
Historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history.
Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement, in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
You can support this worldwide outreach by making a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Hi, this is Pastor Dan Kistler of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Pacifica, California. A small congregation on the Pacific Coast just south of San Francisco, we invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation that He won for us on the cross and now delivers to us through His Word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. For more information about us or for free downloadable sermons, visit our website at oursaviorspacifica.com. God's peace be with you always in our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Do you struggle with how to pray? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is A Simple Way to Pray. It's written by Martin Luther and translated by Matt Harrison. A Simple Way to Pray costs less than $2 plus shipping and handling. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase A Simple Way to Pray by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. A Simple Way to Pray, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Marcus Zill is our guest. He's pastor of St. Andrew's Lutheran Church and Campus Center in Laramie, Wyoming, a coordinator for campus ministry for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and its fledgling program, LCMSU. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes here. I wonder what you make of, and whether you have observed the same thing that the directors of the American Freshman Survey have, and that is, whereas it used to be children seeking their parents and adult approval, it is now very largely, at least within the family, parents seeking their kids' approval.
Well, that's kind of like getting smacked in the face. That's pretty scary. I think your instincts are right, Todd. This cannot end well. Instead of young people wanting to model themselves after their parents or teachers or other role models in their life, instead, now we have the issue where it's turned. That's not going to end well at all.
You don't deal as much with the parents as you do with the kids, but do you see tendencies toward that scenario?
Oh, absolutely. You know, parents have become much more, you know, we're all products of our own upbringings, and so one generation begets the next in terms of how it teaches, you know, you and I probably raise our kids in many ways that we might not like to admit it, similar to how our parents raised us. And so as we kind of move through the boomer generation and now to where we're at, we're kind of seeing the results of this. And there's a lot of insecurity out there, and it's not surprising to me at all to see that our young people are getting kind of a false sense of being very secure and feeling perhaps overconfident because of what we just talked about, at the same time with their parents thinking maybe I haven't done a good enough job raising my own kid, and they're looking to them for approval. So that doesn't surprise me at all. The pendulum will hopefully swing back. And that's usually what happens is one generation learns from the good and bad of the one before. So let's hope that's the case here.
I spent a couple hours when you were conducting your UNRAP conference this last weekend or whenever it was over there with the kids. And I saw something that I'm sure you see all the time, but I don't see it. I don't spend time with a lot of college age kids. But and let me just tell you what I saw. Standing there in this room of, it must have been plus 400 kids. The main presenter was up at the front. Everyone at the front of the room seemed to be paying pretty close attention. He's a great speaker. It was Craig Parton. Near the back of the room, I saw something. And I don't think it was a sign of inattention, but maybe of what we're talking about here during this half hour. I saw a lot of kids looking at their phones. Some of them had laptops, but most of them were looking at their phones, and they were, you know, doing the little finger navigation on their phones. And I mentioned it to the kids that I spoke to on the second day. And I said, I don't even know if you guys know you're doing this. But I said, had my parents' generation seen that happening, my mom would have been there and had each one of them out of the room by their ears. What is going on with this constant connectedness?
Well, I mean, they're constantly fidgeting. I don't think they're doing it on purpose. They're not doing it to be rude. Young people, I mean, we do it too. I mean, you can see pastors and others at conferences, and they're doing the same thing, constantly connected. You know, 30 years ago, if you showed up to a conference and were sitting there reading the newspaper, people would be like, man, what a rude guy that is. But in essence, that's what we're doing. We're not paying attention to what's happening. No, it's just a constant fidgeting. I've got a 15-year-old and a 12-year-old, and even though they don't have the internet on their phones, thanks be to God, my wife would like to, she wished I didn't have it on mine, you know, because I do it too. But they're much better at it, they've grown up multitasking. We've adopted it as we've gotten older, folks our age, but these kids, that's all they know. That's what you do. You constantly are fidgeting. There's never inactivity. There's always something in front of you, and sometimes there's a lot of multiplicity going on, and so they're just in that mode all the time, and it's surprising what they actually learn and pull out of things. I bet if you ask some of those kids what Craig Parton just said, I bet half of them could tell you.
Oh yeah, I mean, I and that's the other thing I wanted to point out. It was not as though they weren't paying attention, but this is how they pay attention now. It's very unusual. We could curse the darkness, or we could light a candle. We're stuck with what sure. The researchers say is a major contributor to the narcissism, to the isolation, the social media. How do we light a candle with respect to that instead of just say, oh, that darn social media, it's ruining the kids' brains?
Well, I just want to emphasize that how important community really is with my own kids. When I go and spend time with them and get them out of the mode where they, you know, you go hiking for the day or whatever, it's like they think it's been like 20 years that they've been gone because it's so freeing. They don't even realize what they don't know, how freeing it is to be unplugged. And so I think, you know, that the answer to this is, one, yeah, we kind of need to learn it, and every campus pastor will tell you if it wasn't for Facebook, we wouldn't find half of our kids. But the bottom line is they still need it. It's a challenge to draw them out of that little world and their little bubbles into the community. But when they get together and actually spend time with real-life people and they're confronted with God's gifts of grace, that becomes all the more important because it's so rare in the world in which they live. So the very things that we promote on campus, the things that we do, become that much more important. But it's that much more of a challenge for us to try to take that college freshman and help them, hey, come on, get out of, you know, stop, get off the computer and go do something with us. And you almost maybe have to drag them to do it. But when they do it, then you've got them because they realize that there is a place for actually being with real live human people and being confronted with the God of grace.
Talk about not just church life, but in particular the life of the church, that is its worship, how that is a great place to start to say, to draw the young people out of them, to draw us all out of ourselves, and to build that community, not just as a means of building community, but that is the community that is the Christian's life.
Well, I've continually been blown away by the fact that if I offered like 75 worship opportunities a week, I'd have kids there. I'd have college students showing up. It's so otherworldly and so transforming to do something so completely radical, like sit, you know, show up, light the candles, hear God's word, receive His gifts. It just blows them away. I mean, it's so retro and countercultural that everything that they're doing, it kind of forces them to be quiet, to listen, to be unplugged. And I think they really dig that. Maybe they don't know it at first, but I think our life of worship together and our life of community becomes that much more important as we seek to try to draw young people out of this and actually spend time together as the body of Christ.
And, of course, in the college context, the university context, this is largely about preparing them for their lives as adults in work and things like that, work and family. But for you as a campus pastor, what would you say to them in terms of kind of the general doctrine of vocation, living outside yourself to these newest of college students?
Well, and that's the thing. It's interesting that at the same time that they spend so much time in kind of this little social media gaming alternate reality fantasy life, young people are awesome and they love to serve. And maybe they don't even realize it till they do it, but I'm absolutely convinced that we need to increase their understanding of their own Christian vocation, their identity in terms of serving their neighbors. And the more we can do that, I think it will actually help benefit them when they think about how much time they're wasting doing the other stuff.
All right, before we let you go, brilliant idea. The Unwrapped Conference was awesome. Everyone I've talked to who was involved in it or who attended it said the same thing. So kudos there, Marcus. But the brilliant idea is LCMSU. What is it? About a minute here.
Well, the last 10 years, first of all, thank you. I mean, it was a lot of work and a lot of other people, committee members and other folks that were involved. It really was a joint effort on behalf of a large amount of people. Those engaged in campus ministry have been needing kind of a new and a fresh face in terms of, not a face, but in terms of a new initiative to kind of rally around. LCMSU is designed to be ultimately kind of a new initiative for us to rally around, a new logo, a new fresh a program, for lack of a better term. We ultimately view this as a new chapter system, a new network that we're developing, not just conferences and servant events and all sorts of things. But in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we kind of took our eye off the ball in terms of our young people and in terms of our college-age students. And this is a chance for us to kind of build it back within the structure and in a meaningful and a lasting way. And so there's still a lot to be developed. It's not a we. It's something that it's really about building a network of people, not only those who are college students and those who work with them, but in my estimation, campus ministry is something that everybody needs to be everybody needs to see as a part of their life throughout congregational life. And so we look forward to anybody that's willing and interested to be involved. We'd love to have them help.
Folks, you can find out more about LCMSU, one of the best ideas to come down the pike in a long, long time. We have a link under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Pastor Mark Azil is pastor of St. Andrew's Lutheran Church and Campus Center in Laramie, Wyoming, coordinator for campus ministry for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and its new initiative, LCMSU. Marcus, thank you.
Hey, thanks, man. Great to be with you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to talk about the wise men. We know they were wise men. We know that they were magi. That's the word that the gospel writer uses for them. Were they kings? Were they at the manger, that is, the birth of Jesus? Were there only three of them? Do we know how many there were? We'll answer some of those questions with Dr. Paul Meyer tomorrow when we talk about the wise men. Also, we'll talk about the Epiphany, Hymn from God, the Father, Virgin Born, tomorrow on the program. Then Monday, Defending Natural Marriage. Dr. Robert George of Princeton University will be our guest. We'll be defending why natural marriage is a societal good, why it's something worth promoting in public policy. Dr. Robert George on Monday from Princeton University, and then also Monday, the hymn To Jordan Came the Christ Our Lord. Pastor Bill Swirla will be our guest. Look, we are all infected by this. We just have a new means of withdrawing from one another into ourselves. So this isn't just about the freshmen. This is about all of us. Now, when we see it so deeply impacting those among us, we draw them out from inside themselves to Christ and to His church. And we remind them that that's where their real life is. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thank you for helping us make budget again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 5 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, and thanks for your financial support. We're looking forward to partnering with you in 2013. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, Issues Etc., and sacred music for the world, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.